There was a couple that had a power outage at their house, and I mentioned this morning to Doug that this is about him. And the PC wasn't working, the laptop wasn't working, the DVD, the iPad, nothing was working. No surround sound, music, or anything. So he finally discovered all that stuff, and then he goes to get his mobile phone. He realizes the battery's dead in it, and there's no power to charge it. He looks outside, and it's raining. He can't play golf. So he said, I went into the kitchen to make coffee, and then I remembered this required electricity. So I sat down and talked with my wife for a couple of hours. She seems like a nice person. If I were to ask you today, do you believe that we as Christians can operate in the same way that Jesus did, I would probably get a variety of answers. So rather than ask the question and answer for the answer, I'll just tell you the answer to that question is yes. And that's what he expects from us. Nothing less, nothing more. And so you might say, well, you know, how can you justify that if you really believe this? Well, I've got four scriptures here from the New Living Translation that will support what I just said. John 14:12 says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. And we just sang victory in Jesus. And what did it say there? You caused. You brought about. And even greater works, because I go to the Father. So we look at what Jesus did, and he's saying, but you can do greater things than what I did. John 14:13 says, you can ask anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Matthew 17:20. You don't have enough faith, Jesus told them. This is when the disciples couldn't heal someone. So I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. It would move. Nothing's impossible. And then Mark 16:17 and 18 says, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. And so if he says that, the question that comes to my mind is, why hasn't the Christian community embraced that? And not just, you know, Methodists, but why haven't Christians embraced that idea that if he says we can do it, then how come we're not seeing it done? How come the Christian society isn't doing what Jesus told us to do? And I think there's one very simple answer. I don't think a lot of people know who they are in Christ. And you say, what do you mean? I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I'm forgiven. Well, the problem is that Satan has brainwashed the church into believing that they have no power. And as people are brainwashed, what's happened is the church has given up that authority that God had given to the church and given to his people. And so when we can get away from this religious tradition thing that we believe is what we're supposed to be doing and realize that we are not fallen beings as Satan would have us to think, but we're victorious Christians through Jesus Christ. We are not fallen. We are not defeated. We are not beaten down. We are not pushed around. We are not walked on. We're not stepped on. We're not stepped over. We ought to be the steppers Too many people, I think, talk about being a sinner and do not believe that they're worthy of God. And when we are forgiven, we become worthy. There's a word used in Victory in Jesus, wretch. But we're no longer wretched. We are forgiven. We are redeemed. We're new people. And as Greg said, when we are born again, then we become a new creation. We become something totally different than what we were. And we just sang it. It said, wasn't looking for something that was more than I had yesterday. I wasn't looking for anything different. But then it says, then you came to me and you gave me life and love that I've never known, that I've never felt before. And when all that happens, the very last line of that chorus says, for the very first time, I'm living. For the very first time, I'm living in my life. That's what born again is being all about. You know, I'm a big believer in the power of positive confession. And Cindy and I have got this adorable dog by the name of Molly. And we have jokingly called her a monster on occasion. She got expelled from doggy daycare because she was too aggressive. Now, if you've seen her, aggressive is not what she is. But Cindy said, you know, maybe we shouldn't call her a monster. And that may seem trite, but it's part of what confession is. So we've got some work to do on her and some work to do on each other. But if we don't confess things on a positive basis, then Satan gets a hold of us and Satan changes us till we begin moaning and groaning, complaining about everything that comes along. If we are forgiven and if we are in right standing with Jesus, we ought to be acting like it. We ought to be doing the things that he called us to do. And I'll tell you, it takes some courage. It's not something for the weak and the feeble. But then he says, you can do all things through me who strengthen us. He also said in Corinthians 5:17, he said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That old stuff, my timidity, my being an introvert, my being quiet, he said, those things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And I will tell you, 40 years ago, I was probably the biggest introvert in the world. But I'm no longer an introvert. Because he can make those things new and he can change us. And the interesting thing about being made new is not refurbished. It's not like a refurbished computer that we used to get from the help desk when I worked when something happened to mine. I got one time, looked like it had a tire track on the top of it. And that's refurbished. That's not what God does. He doesn't refurbish us. He changes us. He makes us something new. The old one of us died on the cross when Jesus died on the cross because he took our sin and he paid the price. And so if we're living as a New Testament believer, we should be living in righteousness. He doesn't take an old beat-up Chevrolet and make a Cadillac out of it. What he does is he manufactures a Cadillac. He manufactures something. If you drive a Chevrolet, I'm not picking on your vehicle. But a Cadillac's a much nicer vehicle than a Chevrolet. I've never owned a Cadillac, so I don't, you know, I mean, I'm just believing what I hear and what I see. But we are recreated. We are made new. We are renewed. And so if that's happened, why am I not a spiritual giant? Why didn't all this stuff just happen? If that's the case. And I believe it is. If I've been reborn, if I'm in the image of God, then I'm absolutely perfect in His sight, even though we're going to make mistakes. Here's what I believe. I believe that we are a three-part being. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." And I pray the God of, and I pray the God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe there's order in what He says, and I believe there's reasons why He said what He said the way He did. So why does He say spirit first? Why do you say body first? Well, it's because we are a spirit being and living in the body that He gave us. When it says in Genesis that He breathed into Adam's nostrils, He breathed into a physical body that gave him spiritual life. Gave him physical life also. But Adam didn't know what He was saying until he got it down inside of him, until he got what God was saying to him down inside of him. And so it begins with the spirit. But then what's this renew your mind? Well, that's reading and studying, listening to Christian tapes. I mean Christian, not some fanatic somewhere. It's bringing our, and this is tough, it's bringing our body in submission to what the Spirit expects and the Spirit asks of us. And so when we stop and think, when this infilling of the Spirit comes or this infilling of the presence comes, it's really not too much different than when Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit hovered over her. The Holy Spirit of God hovers over us and fills us with His Spirit and watches over us and keeps us and breathes life into us, gives us hope. And if we could look inside of ourselves today, and we would see peace, we should see peace, joy, the one I don't have, patience, I know what's missing, love, resurrection power. That's what He gave us. And there's a little bit of glory. Not self-attained glory, but the glory that God has when He says, "Bruce is mine. Satan, he no longer belongs to you. He's mine." And it's kind of like we mature as we grow and as we become more spiritual. I walked in the kitchen today and Caleb said, "You look younger every time I see you." I said, "You're absolutely right. But I don't have a walker and I don't have a cane anymore either." But you know, you stop and think, that's what you want to hear. That's what God says to us. He says, "You can do all things through me and through what I will do for you." The inner man is love, just as Jesus is love. He says, "For you were in darkness, but now you are in light. Walk in the Lord. Walk in the light." He says, "You're children of light." 1 Thessalonians 5:5. And then God said, "Let there be light in darkness." What He's made is that light shine in our lives that was once dark. And you stop and think about that and you wonder, well, what are you talking about? But when we're living in sin and following Satan, that's the life that we have. Darkness. But if we believe what that song says, I'm living today for the very first time. It changes it all. We need, and I'm not saying we're not, but if we are not walking and talking what we ought to be, walking and talking, then we should start. We should start having joy in our lives. And I know we have problems, and I know we face challenges. But He can give us peace through that. If you're raising or raised a teenager, sitting up there saying, wow. Or if you've got a child that's not doing what you think they should do, and you're thinking, wow, I don't see this ever happening. But start speaking positive things in their life. Start speaking prosperity. Start speaking love over them. Start speaking peace over them. Speaking joy. We were talking this morning in the kitchen, and it's like if God didn't want us to have fun, why in the world would He ever fill us with joy? Why would He have done that if He didn't want that to be part of us? Too often we get down because we do something or we make a mistake. And I read this week and I thought, man, says it all. Oral Roberts said, I never made a mistake. Whoa, wait a minute. But then he goes on to say, I've done a lot of things that turned out to be mistakes, but I never got up in the morning and say, I believe I'll make some mistakes today. Once you've committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and are doing the best to follow His word and walk uprightly before Him, you may do something that turns out to be a mistake. You may make some slip-ups, but always remember, you've been redeemed. You didn't set out to make a mistake. There is therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Receive your forgiveness and keep going. And when he said, I never made a mistake, because I never intentionally wanted to harm someone. And none of us really want to do that. But there are times we do. There are times we say things. There's jokes I tell that people take wrong. Somebody said a couple weeks ago, don't give up your day job. That was Phil. But we're gonna offend some people. Not intentionally, but it just happens. So when we're redeemed and we forget about this walking behind Satan, we forget about being a fallen being, we need to realize that we're not like Adam that fell. We're like Jesus that rose. Because that's what the Bible said, that He's brought us back to life. He's given us life. He's given us hope. So instead of, this is going to come tough, but instead of asking God to bless us, we should develop faith on what He's already done for us. And then He will bless us without ever being asked. Galatians 3:6-9 says, the same way Abraham believed God and counted it as righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham, that's us, then are those who put their faith in God. What's more, the scriptures looked forward to this time when God would make the Gentiles right in His sight because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when He said, all nations will be blessed through you. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. And all born-again believers on earth are included in that verse that I just read. He has made a decision to bless us. No matter what we've done, no matter what our background is, no matter who we are, no matter what side of the tracks we came from, no matter whether we've been incarcerated somewhere, no matter if, believe it or not, I said this before and I believe it, Hitler has an opportunity to be a Christian. He could have found Jesus before he died. And I leave that with you to take it from there. But it's a possibility. What happens is when we get to the place that we realize that Jesus really did something. And that plan is to share the good news, to renew our minds, to gain strength and renewal, and to have our minds nourished as we have our physical bodies nourished. I was listening to a guy this week by the name of Andrew Womack. I don't know if you ever heard of him or not, but I can't. He was on 1460 about 9 o'clock in the morning. And he was talking, and he said that he had an experience with Jesus Christ. And he went to church that Sunday, and it was a denominational church. It's not a Methodist church, I'll tell you that. But he said in what church it was. He said, I told him on a Sunday morning, I had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And he said, I started telling him what he had shown me. His parents got upset with him and they asked him to leave the church because of what Jesus had done in his life. And that's people that are following Satan. Because what we ought to be doing is encouraging him. And so when I say if we've got problems with our children, we need to speak positive thoughts over them, to them, behind their back, every opportunity we get. God, I thank you for Fred. I pray today, God, that you will bless him in a way that he has never been blessed before. As he goes to school, I pray that he has peace, that he can find love and has joy, that something that he's never experienced. And this can be children of any age. It doesn't have to be the little guys, or it doesn't have to be teenagers. It can be children of any age. But that's what God wants us to do. And what that does is help renew their minds, because they hear encouragement. They hear enough garbage in school and at work and from friends and everybody around them. But we need to speak positive thoughts and speak blessing on people's lives. And when we speak blessing on people's lives, as I said, God will bless us in a very special way. We're going to receive the offering. We're going to have a closing hymn. Then we're going to serve communion. And communion with the Methodist Church is maybe different in the church that you've been to or been around. You don't have to be a member of the Methodist Church. You can be a member of any church you want to join. But we have what we call an open communion table, and we invite everyone to come to communion. And so when we do that, what we're going to do is we'll have some people come forward to serve. We'll ask you to take a piece of bread, dip it in a cup. And as you do that, think about what Jesus did in your life. But we always pray a prayer before we leave. And we're going to pray that prayer now so that we can prepare our hearts for communion. Pray this with me. Dear Jesus, I ask you to forgive my sin. I invite you into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name.